all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Common Sense for this Tuesday, April 11th. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota, and I mean beautiful. It's 48 up here on Lake Wissota. There are 50s scattered all throughout Wisconsin this morning. It's going to be so nice and warm for the next couple of days here. There is a cool down expected for the weekend, but it's just a minor pothole in the road towards spring. So do get a chance to go out and enjoy things. Coming up this morning, we'll start, sorry to start on a harsh note, but I've titled this hour Wisconsin's Dumbest Bill of the Year. After three children and three adults were gunned down in Nashville, Republicans in the Tennessee legislature decided the best course of action was to expel two Black Democratic members for protesting the lack of urgency to stop school shootings. And now yesterday we've had a mass shooting at a bank in Louisville, Kentucky, a bank with armed guards and high-tech security. So how are a couple of Wisconsin Republican legislators responding to this continuing carnage? Giving us a bill that would provide loaded weapons to teachers in classrooms. I mean, what could go wrong? We will then turn things around at the bottom of the hour with the uplift from Christina Lurie, her review of some of the encouraging stories that she writes for the Up North News Daily newsletter, which you can find at upnorthnewswi.com. Just click newsletter up in the top banner. In our second hour, we'll talk to our friend Scott Ross, the longtime head of One Wisconsin Now. He's been looking at the election results and tells us why Democrats ought to be getting active right now in the first and the third congressional districts in southeastern and western Wisconsin, respectively. He'll give us his assessment of how competitive these districts have become based on the votes in last week's state Supreme Court race and why it's important for the party to be out and about to give constituents a choice other than Brian Stile and Derek Van Orden to represent those districts in 2024. At 7:30, we will talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Tara Dawn of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. We're going to talk about the importance of watershed protection, especially as farmers get set to start planting, and a lot of them are itching to get out in the fields this week. And we will talk to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau about what's happening in his part of the state. As always, you are welcome to share your thoughts with us on the day's news at 844-967-2789. Or 715-388-7155. The email address is radio at upnorthnewswi.com because upnorthnewswi.com is where you find our work. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, though we have a crush on them, and we're very thankful that they let us play on their radio stations here all across Wisconsin for 2 hours every morning. And then you find the rest of our work on social media. Just look for Up North News WI, whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and what have you. If you're not able to be by your radio all the time, you can catch the show as a live video feed on our Facebook page and the Civic Media Facebook page and the Bull Falls Radio Facebook page. Any of those three Facebook pages, you can also comment there on the live feed. And if we like what we're hearing, we will put that comment up on screen as well. If you call those phone numbers, you'll hear from Mr. Aaron Zommers, who's standing by in Madison, where he updates me on the comings and goings of Civic Media Matters. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Pat.
I understand that that includes people are fleeing the station in droves. And I don't mean that they're quitting their jobs. I mean they're getting a nice upgrade.
Yes, they're being relocated. To the new State Street office that we've been working on for a while now. Yeah, the office space is pretty much ready to go, and several of our stations are already being operated out of that new headquarters. Not yet this one, or this one being Madison, WMDX, but that'll come. For now, we're just going to get everybody, all the other staff, settled in.
I haven't talked about this for a little while, but Civic Media is currently located. The studio is on University Avenue or University Drive? I always mix that up.
It's Avenue.
But University Avenue, smack dab in the middle of Madison. It's a nice little building, but it was there before the civic media empire really started taking off and just doesn't have the capacity for the manpower, but also the wiring power. And remember, I talked to several weeks back now. It's been a while since I've been to Madison, but I've been to the new place. It's at the top of State Street, right off Capitol Square, in that same building where there's a comedy club on State Street. And it is gorgeous, wiring like crazy, because they're basically building it not just for office space, but to be a control center for more than a dozen radio stations around Wisconsin. And so it's turning out nice, but they've left Aaron in a box out there on University Avenue. So
yeah, for now, eventually I'll be able to crawl out, but not yet.
I'm looking forward to, I figure one of these days, I'm just going to flip the camera on here and see you in these gorgeous new digs. So, you know, I'm a little jealous. I'm going to stop down there, I think week after next, and see how things are going. But yeah, I'm really happy to see what's happening there, because I know a few times you and I have talked about, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with the building, but it's a little cramped. You know, computers have a way of turning on and off and things like that. So I'm happy for the upgrade you're about to get.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes people have meetings and there are no longer any rooms, so they're just in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to be nice to see. Maybe I'll shoot a little video and put that up on our page as well. Let's see. Coming up, I've completely plumbed out of time to tell you that the Brewers lost to the Diamondbacks 3-0. Oh, wait, I did fit that in. Zach Gallen for the Diamondbacks, his curveball was just amazing. He threw that curveball 40 times. Only two of them were put into play. He only allowed 3 hits in 7 innings, and the Diamondbacks beat the Brewers by a score of 3-0. They'll play again at 8:40 tonight. The game was only 2 hours and 12 minutes long. Loving the pitch clock. We'll be back. You're up north.
Show a little passion, babe.
Little Mary Chapin Carpenter with words directed towards somebody who should work harder on their relationship, but we're going to apply it toward members of the legislature who could be working a little harder on some of the big issues that face us. In the meantime, a good morning to Sherry Clark as well. Appreciate the greeting on our Facebook page. Again, the Facebook page is for Up North News or Civic Media or Bull Falls Radio. If we see your comment there, might throw it up on screen and give you our thanks. Coming up tomorrow on the program, cancer survivor Laura Packard. She's on a national bus tour that's coming to Wisconsin this weekend with a message for new 3rd District Congressman Derek Van Orden. Leave Americans' healthcare coverage alone, she'll explain tomorrow. Also tomorrow, State Representative Francesca Hong will talk about things that the legislature could be doing to help with workforce and small business development. And that's the thing. Our legislature is not working on small business development or improving workforce availability and skills. And no, you're not helping with workforce development if your only move is to slash relief for the newly unemployed, which is the most recent proposal that came from legislative Republicans. You see, you could be using that time after somebody has lost their job to help them with financial breathing space to upgrade their skills and then fill those vacancies that tend to stay open longer in those high-skilled job openings. Instead, by slashing the cushion, you just force people to take the next low-wage, low-skilled job that's available. So no, you're not working on workforce development. Instead, our legislature continues to spin its wheels. And whether it's that example I just gave you or the one I'm about to give you, they are putting some of the worst ideas down on paper, like their latest one to address a mass shooting. It took place at a bank in Louisville, a bank, again, that had things that are there to try to prevent bank robberies and to keep people safe. It's not quite a fortress, but it's certainly better protected than most businesses, obviously, and most schools, as it should be. But by the time the disgruntled employee was done, 5 of his coworkers were dead, 8 people were wounded, including 2 police officers who were shot. Law enforcement was on the scene in 3 minutes. So this isn't a case of, you know, that police couldn't get there. They did. They got there as fast as they could. They can't travel as fast as the bullets that come from an assault weapon. This is an area, Louisville, represented by a congressman whose Christmas card photo, his Christmas card photo, had him, his wife, and all five kids posing with weapons, including automatic weapons, the kind that kill kids and cops. These are folks who don't trust teachers when it comes to lesson plans. They don't trust teachers when it comes to the books they put in their classes and libraries. They don't trust teachers when it comes to teaching about what's happening to their bodies or when it comes to counseling confused children, especially those whose parents are either absent, neglectful, or even abusive. And yet, you say you're good with handing them loaded weapons, and that's what we're hearing from at least two Wisconsin Republican legislators who are proposing an exception to the state law banning firearms on school grounds. Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha, Senator Corey Tomchek of Mozenee have a bill that says that if a person, a teacher, holds a concealed carry license, is employed by the school, and if the school board has adopted a policy that allows employees who are licensees to possess a firearm, they can pack heat on school grounds. It also, because Republicans are always about saving money, it waives for teachers the fee that's associated with obtaining a concealed carry license. So thanks for saving a couple of bucks on the paperwork, but the proposal is still to have loaded guns in our classrooms because teachers are going to stop a mass shooter when police officers at a bank couldn't. When armed guards at other schools haven't been able to stop them. I am sure that these folks, these two Wisconsin legislators, like a lot of Republicans, have, you know, mocked the ban on firearms in schools, the gun-free zones, which they say are invitations for shooters. They are merely reminders of the dangers of guns and that putting more guns in school is not the answer. It's something that Governor Tony Evers has promised to veto. The governor said that, quote, Wisconsinites have been desperately demanding common sense proposals that will reduce gun violence and keep our kids, our schools, and our communities safe. This bill isn't among them. This bill shouldn't make it to my desk, but if it does, the governor says, I will veto it. Of course he should veto it. And he put out a statement that was much better than how I would have responded if I were governor and that bill came before me. I would be more likely to play this clip from the movie Billy Madison to any proposal that leads to more loaded guns in our schools.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
As the governor goes on to say, he's already vetoed Republican bills to allow loaded guns on school grounds because it won't make schools or kids any safer. He says, so let me be clear, I'll veto any bill that weakens Wisconsin's gun-free school zone law, period. And then there's reaction from State Representative Deb Andraka of Whitefish Bay, a former teacher who holds a concealed carry license. She says, I guess it's becoming harder to find days without mass shootings to introduce bad gun bills. Allowing guns in school is not the answer. And again, it comes down to that key word, the answer. We have real problems, big problems, deadly problems going on in our schools, going on in our workplaces that need fixing. We need to reduce something there that is causing the problem. And you can't get rid of disgruntled employees or former employees. You can't get rid of the technology that allowed mass shooters like the one in Louisville to live stream his assault, giving them a moment of unfiltered glory while innocent people are murdered to the horror of anyone watching the stream. You can't get rid of mental health issues, though you could be more supportive of providing the resources to address mental health issues. It's the guns. It's the type of guns. Nobody is coming to take the guns, the hunting rifles, the legally held weapons of law-abiding citizens. Weapons of war, on the other hand, assault weapons, the things that are used in almost every mass shooting. Those were taken out of the picture for a time, for about a decade in the 90s and up until 2004. And the number of mass shootings went down. The number of mass shooting victims went down. It went back into place after George W. Bush was elected and Republicans had control of Congress. And people said, you're not going to like what happens next. We haven't liked what's happened next. It is as common sense as it gets. There's almost nothing you can tell me that is more common sense than putting back in place the assault weapons ban, which, by the way, did not confiscate anybody's guns. It was a ban on selling new assault weapons, of continuing to flood America with weapons of war. We could do that again. We could do that again. All it would take would be for a certain political class to stop worshiping all guns. And I have taken to using the word worship lately, and I think it's the right word. I don't know what else better describes a willingness to pledge yourself to a weapon rather than pledge yourself to saving children's lives, to saving Americans' lives, protecting them from the horror of, as in Louisville yesterday, seeing an employee, hearing a click, as one of the bank employees said yesterday, turning around, realizing he has raised a weapon and has started shooting. We can address this if we have people who would put the potential victims first, who would put our children first. Instead, like I mentioned in Tennessee, the legislature there, after a demonstration aimed at them for doing nothing about gun violence, their response to it was to discipline three Democratic legislators who took part in that demonstration inside the Capitol and to expel two of them from the legislature, the two young Black Democratic legislators, but not the white Democratic woman, which they can say all they want, that race had nothing to do with it, because we don't expect them to come right out and declare it. But one of those state representatives became a former state representative and is now a state representative again. It took virtually no time for the Nashville Council to put one of the legislators back into office. And as early as tomorrow, a county commission for the other legislator is likely to put him back into office. Now, will Republicans look for another reason to kick them out once again? Yeah, I sure think so. Like I mentioned yesterday, a friend mentioned the broken taillight syndrome. You know, they'll invent another reason. Because again, it takes time away from having to think about real problems or do something about it. Remember, this happened when young people marched on the state capitol in Tennessee en masse to say, do something. What happened in Florida after Parkland? Remember how young people marched to the Capitol? They demonstrated in Washington, D.C. There was the March for Our Lives. And the politicians there did the same thing they've done everywhere. Nothing except wait. They waited it out. The demonstration stopped. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis last week signed into law the ability for basically no permit, open carry of weapons everywhere. He made things worse. So demonstrations are fine. Demonstrations are good. But it's ballots, it's voting that's going to finally get rid of some of the dumbest ideas in our capitals. We'll be back. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Look, I admit it. The news business can be rough. There's a lot of people that tune out the news all the time, and I understand it from time to time. The news is rough out there. Thankfully, some folks have the presence of mind to offer up some perspective. My wife, for example, she's one of those folks. My news feed is full of news and politics and such. Her feed is full of cute animals, you know, baby animals, all kinds of cute kids doing things. And God bless her for it. I need that perspective from a professional and workplace standpoint. And for you, the audience here at Up North News, Christina Laurie has taken on the task of looking around Wisconsin and finding uplifting stories in our weekly feature that coincidentally we call The Uplift. Christina Laurie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Great. Always happy to bring about some of the more positive stories that you're covering out there. And again, for a reminder, if you're not catching The Uplift in our newsletter, go to upnorthnewswi.com, click on newsletter in the top banner and subscribe to the newsletter Christina puts together. And if you have positive stories or basically any news tips, you can write to her at Christina Laurie at upnorthnewswi.com. So we thought we'd review a couple of them. And so we're going to get into the new baseball season, but we're also getting into another sign of spring. Farmers markets are starting to gear up for the area. What are you learning?
Yes, the weather turned just in time for these markets. The first week in the 60s and 70s here, and then the biggest farmers market in the state and one of the largest producers-only farmers markets in the country, the Dane County Farmers Market, is returning this Saturday, April 15th, for its 51st season. And now this, Pat, is the market that attracts more than 275 different producers from pretty much every corner of the state. There are some all the way up by you in Chippewa Falls that wake up at 1 or 2 a.m. to make the drive out here. The market starts every Saturday morning at 6:15 and it goes until 1:45. But anyone who's gone knows that if you want the best selection, you want to get there early because then you have your first pick of everything, especially when it comes to that fresh in-season produce.
The farmers market of Dane County, I learned one of the first things I learned about you is if there's such thing as a super fan, it's you.
Oh, yes. I will proudly take that title. I love the market, and I know I'm not alone. I mean, sometimes, some days, the market attracts up to 20,000 people, so much so that they have to have signs posted letting you know which way to walk. You have to walk in that counterclockwise rotation.
That's right. Right. Walk the correct way. And do you remember the farmer's market delicacy that you now officially have me hooked on and have to pick up for me at some point?
Oh, do I? Yes, it is the Stella's spicy cheese bread. I am a Stella's super fan, but that's anyone who's been to the market knows that is no secret. That's one of the fastest sellers. Their booth is sometimes shut down before 10 a.m. That's how quickly they sell out. And they have a massive staff. I talked to them before. They make 90% of their profits during outdoor market season.
Get the rolls, make breakfast sandwiches, people. You're welcome. Topic number two, dollar stores. They're ubiquitous now with, retail scenes in Wisconsin. And just because it's a dollar store with all kinds of different names, Dollar General, Dollar this, Dollar that, but that doesn't mean that everything that you buy there is necessarily what, the best bargain or the best kind of product that you can get? What are you learning?
Well, there's a few things to point out here. First, today's dollar stores are not your typical dollar stores. You don't go there just for that junk to fill you know, Easter baskets or fill gift bags. You can get a full week's worth of groceries there, which is great news, as long as you know what to buy. Because also, today's dollar stores, everything there is no longer a dollar. At most stores, everything there starts at $1.25, but there are still many things that are really great deals. So we did a whole analysis of what to buy and what not to buy. And I just want to go down the basics here. Foods to buy at the dollar store that you're pretty much guaranteed to get a better deal than any place else are things like baking mixes, candy, canned beans, chicken broth, coffee, condiments, frozen fruits and frozen vegetables. A lot of dollar stores here in Wisconsin are actually adding refrigerators, and they're really modernizing them. So those are great things to get there, as well as pasta, quick cooking oats, ramen noodles, rice, a lot of those carby foods. But then we also looked at things not to buy at the dollar store. There are a few things that are really bad deals there. Canned tuna will cost you up to $2 more than at a regular grocery store, and that can add up if you eat it a lot and are buying a large quantity of it. Canned vegetables, besides beans, are usually a bad deal. Cereal is usually very misleading there because they sell it in smaller packages. So if you're comparing prices, you also need to compare sizes. You can buy a much larger container of it that will last you a lot longer at your regular grocery store. And then finally, things like toothpaste and soap, laundry detergent, cleaning products, those are, again, really bad deals because they sell you to them in smaller containers. And sometimes, actually, you can't even just look at the size. You need to look at the, you know, amount of ounces in there, because they'll pretend like they're selling you that full size, but it's only half full if you want to look at it that way. And you really are getting ripped off, Pat.
Last story, once again, another sign of spring would be the Brewers opener. And this is a very unique story that involves two different Brewers games, one earlier, one this year, and the baby who's at the center of our story.
Yes, he was a very, very special guest at this year's Brewers home opener. So I'm at the stands earlier last week for the Brewers home opener. There was 2-month-year-old Fozzie, and he might have been the youngest fan there, but he already has one of the deepest connections to the team. So his parents had been trying to get pregnant through fertility treatments when they went to a game last April, and they had actually just suffered a miscarriage, and they were, you know, going to a Brewers game to just try to turn their emotions and their luck around. So they spent only $20. They entered that 50-50 split the pot raffle. They ended up winning $18,000, which was the exact amount they needed for another round of IVF. 1 month later, they found out they were pregnant with their baby boy. And this year, their 2-month-year-old was in the stands at this year's home opener. So I haven't heard any future updates, but I think that kid deserves season tickets or something.
Or something. I mean, the kid's already lucky, because of being a raffle winner the way that he was. He's a Brewers fan, so he's already a winner as well, and gets to have a story told by folks like Christina Lurie. By the way, one more time, if you've got a positive story or a news tip at all, go to Christina Lurie. Her last name is spelled L-O-R-E-Y, Christina Lurie at UpNorthNewsWI.com. A most uplifting edition of this week's Uplift. Christina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat, and hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you again. So there you go. Aaron, I hope you feel a little bit better now about, you know, some of the good things that are happening out there in the world, mostly because I'm about to make you feel a little bit worse about money that we don't have. But again, one more time, if you're watching the video feed here on Facebook, I've put her address there up on screen, Christina Lurie at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Aaron, are you holding out any hope to become a billionaire someday?
Most definitely not.
Okay. Now, the reason I ask is it's possible. I mean, you never know what thing you might stumble onto. We, Civic Media, after all, is the partial brainchild of somebody who was described. Was it the Cap Times article, I think, that described our CEO as an internet zillionaire?
I believe that was the one, yeah.
I think that, I mean, last week I said mogul. Who wouldn't like the word mogul as a title? Internet zillionaire works for me, too. It's just that you have to be smart enough to think of something, either a product or a program or a business or something. And it's probably too late for me, Aaron. It's not too late for you. I'm sure you've got some ideas.
I could think of something, but that's less likely than winning the lottery.
Yeah, I guess we'll just keep doing that instead. So that takes us to the newest list of the richest Wisconsinites and those with ties to Wisconsin provided by the Biz Times. And I am old enough to remember when Wisconsin only had one billionaire. I was working at Channel 13. We did the Forbes magazine thing. And we took note that Wisconsin had its first billionaire, you know, its first one or two billionaires. Any idea which one you think I'm thinking about talking on an Eau Claire TV station? That's your hint. Think Eau Claire.
I'm thinking Eau Claire, but I can't think of any billionaires.
Oh, we have a couple. We had one for sure, John Menard. John Menard, when I remember when he first made the list, I think it was something like $1.3 billion. And, you know, I have a tough time even grasping, you know, conceiving that amount of wealth. But yeah, John Menard is, let's see, it says here, John Menard Jr., number 97 on the list. His current net worth is $17.5 billion. Not bad. Not bad. Number 130 on the list worldwide is Diane Hendricks of Beloit-based ABC Supply. She's worth just about $14 billion. There are actually 9 Wisconsin residents on the Forbes magazine annual list. That is up one from last year. It went down one with the death of Kohler Company Executive Chair Herbert Kohler Jr. last year. But how often have we talked about Richard and Elizabeth Eline, the founders of Pleasant Prairie-based Uline? They were added to the list this year. I thought that they lived just over the line in Illinois, but they must be Wisconsin residents again, that they're on the Wisconsin list. Somebody closer to you, Aaron, that would be Judy Faulkner, the founder of Verona-based Epic Systems, a medical records company. They've got a bit of a presence down there, right?
A little bit. You know, it's almost like every other person you talk to works for Epic.
Yes, Judy Faulkner is worth just over $7 billion. And then the other, the old money, if you will, for Wisconsin billionaires comes from the S.C. Johnson Company. And of course, the S.C. Johnson Company now has many heirs. There's Fisk Johnson and S. Curtis Johnson, who are both worth just about $5 billion. There are another one or two folks from the S.C. Johnson family who live in Florida or other states now that are also there. Helen Johnson Leopold is worth nearly $5 billion, the chair and CEO of Johnson Financial Group and Johnson Outdoors. There's James Cargill, who's worth about $4 billion. He's the heir to Minnesota-based Cargill. Let's see. We've got the Wanicks from Ashley Furniture. There is Ashley Furniture founder Ron Wanick, who is now a Florida resident, who has a net worth of $5 billion. And Todd Wanick, president and CEO of the Arcadia-based company, has a net worth of $3.3 billion. In addition, there are some principal co-owners of the Milwaukee Bucks. They, of course, include Mark Lazary at $2.1 billion, Wes Edens at $3.8 million, James Deanen at $1.9 billion. Alex Lazary, by the way, plans to sell his stake in the Bucks to Jimmy and Dee Haslam, owner of the NFL's Cleveland Browns. Jimmy Haslam has a net worth of, again, nearly $5 billion. And Mark in Prairie du Sac has some thoughts on that. Mark, I got about a minute. What's on your mind?
Well, I might be being unjust here, but it seems to me that far too many of these billionaires and millionaires that do not want to pay the taxes that provide for the infrastructure for the fellow citizens that allowed to make them to make their vast fortunes. I mean, these people are richer than Croesus. Now we have Devin LeMahieu proposing, flat tax across Wisconsin rather than the progressive taxation system that allowed these people to prosper as they have and share the wealth, as it were, that make this indeed a richer state by them actually chipping a little bit more, because that's not going to affect. And these people are richer than Croesus.
Yeah, oh my gosh! Just a nominal tax, much less the Elizabeth Warren, you know, wealth tax that would do it. Mark, you feeling better? I know you were laid up there for a time. Hope things are going better for you.
Well, it's going better. They had to replace my chest tube yesterday, but so I got delayed on getting to the rehab facility. But it's all really good. You just take all it right. easy and
well, keep good. You keep chugging along there. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks, brother.
And thanks again for that reminder that, you know, with $17 billion, you'll be all right. We'll be back. You're up north.
I'm not worried.
I'm happy. I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again.
See, we're trying to go for the happy stuff here in this half hour. And, of course, you can't do that without a little singing in the rain. That movie was released on this day in 1952. Let's stick with the movie theme for this day in history and share. Winning a Best Actress Oscar on this day in 1988. It was one of those examples. There have been others, you know, before and since, but Cher was one of those where, again, people had to do a bit of a double take when you think of somebody only in one vein, and in this case as a singer and sometimes a rather extravagant singer as she was in the 70s and 80s, but she moved into acting. She won that Best Actress. You might recall the romantic comedy Moonstruck, where she had that great line where I think it was Nicolas Cage saying that that he'd fallen in love with her, and this was her reaction to that.
I'm in love with you.
Snap out of it.
I can't.
one does not fall out of love with Cher, apparently. On this day in 1966, Frank Sinatra recorded Strangers in the Night, a perfectly fine standard. It's just that the way that he ended it, which he says was completely improvised, is just one of those moments that then stuck with him, as these improv moments often are. Here he is near the end of Strangers in the Night from 1966.
For strangers in the night.
Now, nobody can do a Frank Sinatra impression without a little dooby dooby doo, you know, thrown in there. But yeah, said he was just listening to the music and going with it. On this day in 1970, the Beatles spent the first of 2 weeks at the top of the charts with Let It Be. And the thing that made it so melancholy was the song had hit number one. And at about that time, remember we mentioned yesterday, Paul McCartney essentially announcing that the Beatles were breaking up.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
And by the way, it was this same day in 1970 that Apollo 13 was launched, sending Tom Hanks into space. No, wait, he was in the movie later on about that space flight. But it had a malfunction on their way to the moon. And I would say not every movie ages well, but I would bet that Apollo 13 does, because it's simply retelling something from history. And what they had to go through to make sure not to lose those astronauts in space, the ingenuity to get around the moon and slingshot perfectly back into Earth, is just so impressive. And so I would definitely recommend that one. One birthday of note in music today, Joss Stone is 36 today. She had a hit around 2004 at You Had Me.
You had me, you lost me, you wasted, you caused me. I don't want you here messing with my mind. Spitting in my
the following year, 1988, Neil Young released his 16th studio album, This Note's for You, and the title song mocked the marketing industry and the whole corporate music scene. Now one that's a little bittersweet. It was a year ago today at the CMT Awards that the Judds reunited for their first TV appearance in 20 years when they performed their 1990 song, Love Can Build a Bridge.
Love can build a between your heart and mine.
Sadly, 3 weeks later, Naomi Judd would take her own life at the age of 76. And it prompts this reminder that the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is for anybody who is in crisis or for those looking to help someone else. You can speak with a trained listener. You can call or text 988. You can also visit 988lifeline.org to chat with someone online or to get more information. Looking back at the newsletters from Up North News, we've got notes from 3 years ago today when we were just some youngins new on the scene, 2 years ago and 1 year ago. Of course, we got our start just at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, and it was on this day 3 years ago we were reporting on how Milwaukee Food Tours had to adjust their business model temporarily because nobody was going to be doing food tours and restaurants were closed. So they decided to offer shelter-in-style kits. Remember the whole shelter-in-place? Theirs was shelter-in-style. They also marketed them as quarantine care kits shipped nationwide and providing folks with a break from having to raid the fridge and the cupboards yet again. Now, Milwaukee Food Tours is back in the tour business, but they also have plenty of gift boxes on their website from what I was able to see last night. 2 years ago, in 2021, the Wisconsin Supreme Court finally ended an effort by the right-wing legal group Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty to purge almost 70,000 voters from the voter rolls based on flawed data. On a 5-2 vote, the justices agreed with an appeals court that the voter rolls are modified at the local level and not by the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which was the target of the group Will's effort to purge tens of thousands of voters in an effort to, again, suppress the vote and help out Republicans. And then 1 year ago today, Senator Ron Johnson was in Medford and answered a constituent question about news reports that he had doubled his personal wealth while in office and that he personally benefited from a significant tax break that he demanded be part of the 2017 tax bill. And Ron Johnson said that in both cases, that was true. He had, in fact, doubled his wealth in office. He had, in fact, personally benefited from a significant tax break that he insisted be part of the 2017 tax bill in order for it to get his vote. Johnson would go on to win re-election later in the year because his record, his finances, his tax avoidance, his conspiracy theories, and his willingness to pass along Russian disinformation were all drowned out by billionaire-funded commercials that made it sound like Mandela Barnes's position on cash bail was the real problem facing Americans today. And so here we are. And we will look back at Ron Johnson in history for a long time to come, I think for even more reasons. Coming up in our next hour, Scott Ross will join us at the top of the hour to talk about not dropping the ball when it comes to two key congressional districts in 2024, based on what we heard from, or what we saw rather, in last week's state Supreme Court election results. Also, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Tara Don of Wisconsin Farmers Union, and they will talk about watershed protection, especially as farmers get set to start planting. And that just doesn't just happen at the farmer level. There are watershed councils that essentially try to be good community stewards of the water supply. And again, in an age of corporate farms and mega farms, it's nice to know that individuals across rural Wisconsin are doing their part to protect our natural resources. We'll be back. You're up next. Taking it back, taking back my life.